This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
Today we're going to talk about losing my religion, and the question I'm going to pose to you is, can you lose your salvation? So I want to go over there to Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you got your Bible. How many of you got your Bible? Sweet. If you don't have your Bible, we got the little QR code, and I think I have all my scriptures. Most of my scriptures should be in there. And if you ever wondering, if you don't use the QR code and you brought your own Bible, if you're ever wondering what version I'm using, it's the New American Standard Bible. So that's just throwing that out there too. Okay, so can you lose your salvation? Please, you guys, don't shoot the messenger. This is just what was on my heart to preach to you today. Some of you are like, okay, I'm very much Calvinist, and I'm going to go, yep, it's once saved, always saved, prevenient grace, on and on. Some of you are like, nah, I'm a little bit more over here where, yeah, you can lose your salvation. So when we answer this question today, bear with me, because the short answer for me is no, but the long answer for me is yes, okay? And the reason I'm going to go down that road, short answer no, long answer yes, is because we need to understand a little bit about salvation. So we're going to go to Romans 10. If I gave you enough time. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says this. And I'm actually going to start with verse 8. The word is near you. It's in your heart and your mouth. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me say that again. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, or Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be
saved.
Very good. But then we got to go on. It says, for with the heart the person believes, and it results in righteousness. Or it continues, some translations say it continues towards righteousness. And with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. Or some translations say it continues toward salvation. So we got to get this idea of salvation. First of all, if the Bible says, so if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If you believe that, say, Jesus is Lord. Okay. That, not a lot of people said that. I'm a little scared here. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Okay. I'm like, we're going to do a different message if this is the case. Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that you cannot say Jesus is Lord. A spirit cannot say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And to denounce Jesus as Lord, it would mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit. That means another spirit is saying something different. So if you are confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it means that you can only do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on to say, for with a heart, the person believes. What are you believing? That God raised him from the dead, right? The only way for Jesus to have been risen by the dead is by the power of who? God, through the, what? Say it, Bill. Holy Spirit. Yeah, the power of the Holy Spirit is what rose Jesus from the dead. If you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then who do you have within you? The Holy Spirit, right? We're going to hold on to that. You got to hold on to that. Okay, because I think that what happens is we get this whole religious mindset about salvation and what salvation is all about. But 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it talks about these people and what they're going to be like, the worldly ideals or the worldly mindset of people in the end times. And it goes through all of this selfish list of things, greed, envy, lust, all of it, you know, all of those crazy things. But then in verse 5, it says, they hold to a form of godliness. Let me say godliness. But they deny its power. Well, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, we just said that that can only be by who? If you believe that God raised him from the dead, that's the power of who? So without the Holy Spirit, then all you're doing is you're holding to a form of godliness, but you're denying any power, right? So by that standard, you are nothing more than religious. Somebody say, uh-oh. Yeah. And Jesus is looking for something greater than religion. We're talking about relationship. So we need to lose the religion, and we need to dive into the relationship, because that's what salvation then is all about. We're 2 Timothy 3 is these religious people, they're holding to a religion and not the power. But you can't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead without the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here's how we view salvation. Can I pick on Miles? Yeah, perfect. Okay. Let's say that this is how we, the religious mindset view of salvation. Let's say that this is a certificate, okay? That's me in the corner. This is a certificate, and we're calling this salvation. And we say, here you go. There's your salvation. Your salvation is an entrance into the church, into Christianity. And by the power of Christianity, and you, by the way, since you're into Christianity now, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't lust. If you do those things, I'm going to have to take that from you. Or you have to follow the Ten Commandments to a T. You have to be perfect with it. You have to come to church each week. If you don't come to church each week, we're going to start paying attention to that. And if you don't tithe, look out. I'm taking your salvation card. And sorry about your luck. That's how we view salvation sometimes. In fact, there are churches who will, if you, just kind of like the woman caught in adultery, remember that story in the Bible? They Pharisees bring her to Jesus, and they say, what? She was caught in the act. Caught in the act. Grab a hold of that. They grabbed her. She was caught in the act. And they took her to Jesus. How many people does it take to have an adultery affair? But they only took one, right? They only brought the one. Brought her to Jesus and said, this is what the law says. If she does this, you're to stone her to death. And he says, do what? Cast the first stone, right? Now see, we're quick to do that with people's salvation too. We're quick to say, here's your salvation. But if you don't do this, and if you do these things over here, but you don't do these things over here, we're going to judge you and we're going to take that salvation away. That's a big uh-oh, because that's a religious idea of salvation, right? It's 2 Peter 1 and 5. Let me go there real quick for you, because this is what we take this to the next level. We say, to your faith, this is verse 5, to your faith, supply moral excellence, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. If you can do these things, you'll be saved. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, if I confess with my mouth Jesus is, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I will be. Somebody say, will be. Did the Bible say that I am saved? No, it said that I will be saved, okay? So this means that salvation, there's a timing for it. There's a time frame for your salvation. Now, we get the idea, and some of you are going to go, are you saying that we as believers are not saved? What I'm saying is God has not brought you to your full deliverance yet. Amen? How many of you still struggle with sin? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying, and so you might as well just raise your hand now. That's right. Yeah. Come on, Dottie, get it up there. If you're not struggling with sin, yeah. We're all doing that, right? We all have this body. Paul says in Romans 7, he says, For I know nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. That's in this thing right here. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. And then he goes on to say what? What a wretched man I am. Who will set me free from this body of death, right? Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to God through Jesus, our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself in my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with the flesh, the law of sin. So I'm still here. I'm struggling with this sin. Then it says this in chapter 8, Romans. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to even your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That means if I have the power of the Holy Spirit, my salvation is not that he has given me fire insurance so that I don't go to hell when he comes back. It's that he is delivering me from the hand of sin. He is freeing me from the bondage of sin. He is leaving me in this world, but I'm not of this world. He has taken away my citizenship of this world. He's left me in this world, and I'm roaming around like Abraham waiting for the promised land. But he has taken me out of this world as far as my citizenship goes. And one day, he will be my husband because I am a part of the bride of Christ, right? And Jesus is my husband, right? It's strange. This time right here is like an engagement. This time right here is like I'm betrothed to Jesus and I'm waiting on him to return. I'm waiting for him to come back. Take me to the wedding feast. I'm waiting on him to come back so that I can be one with him, so that I can live eternally with him. That, my friends, is salvation. That is deliverance from all that there is in this world. When he takes me away and he takes me to him, that is salvation. Now, I ask you, can you lose that salvation? It's not a membership card that can be revoked. Jesus said this, that you are not your own, right? You were bought with a price, and that price was what? His blood. Catch a hold of how deep that is. He bought you with a price. He bought you with a price, and the price is his blood. If you can lose that, if you are his, and you can lose your salvation, this is like Jesus going, I need to see customer service here. Lynn Lance is not what I thought he was. Jack Stevens, oh my Lord. I'm not picking on AJ this week. I got reamed for that last week. That would be Jesus going and saying, this isn't what I thought it was. I'm returning the item. Now, has he done that with you? No. Why? Because when he saw you, he said, I love you no matter what. When he saw you, he said, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you've been. I love you. And I love you for who you are, not who you're supposed to be or who you're meant to be or who you possibly could be. I love you for who you are. And I'm not sending you back. Right? And have we been delivered yet? Not completely. This isn't about religion. This is about a covenant relationship. Let's go to 1 Peter in your Bible. And I'm going to start with the very first verse. And we'll go down to verse 13 if you're taking notes. It says this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of who? I'm sorry, who? Oh, so not me. Now, my works couldn't get me there, right? It says the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, a salvation ready to be revealed when? in the last time. In the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is imperishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, what? Salvation. Salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That would be in Isaiah 53, by the way. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when does your salvation come? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's not the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ to this whole world, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Yeah. So we're waiting on that revelation of Jesus. And when that comes, that says it says that that's when our salvation will come. How can you lose a salvation when it hasn't fully even been given to you? How can you lose your salvation when the gift of salvation is not a membership card? It's not a green card. It's not something, an item that can be taken away, but it hasn't even fully been given to you. It hasn't been brought to you yet, because it's not about religion. It's about relationship, and I am in a covenant relationship with God. I am in a covenant relationship with Jesus. Now you might say, yeah, but Jason, even in engagements, even when people are engaged, engagements can be broken off. I've seen it done, or it's happened to me, or whatever. So this is kind of proof that you can walk away from Jesus. This is what it says. This is the real question. The real question should be this: can you fall from God's grace? Somebody say grace. Can you fall from God's unmerited favor? This is where some of you are going to be on the fence with me, I know. The answer in the Bible is, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Nobody else is turning there. What's up? Galatians chapter 5. And he says this: behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, remember we talked about this last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago, maybe. If you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed. Somebody say severed. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from... Oh, so the question is, can you fall from God's grace? You know why? It wasn't about the circumcision, like, oh, it's, we talked about this also. Not about the circumcision, like you went to the hospital, your baby's born, and this is the cultural practice that it's healthier for your baby to have a circumcision, on and on and on. It's more like this: I got a circumcision because somebody told me that if I got that, that it would be a part of my salvation. It's religious BS. Can I say that in church? It's religious nonsense, okay? Because what he is saying is, if you think that your works can bring about your salvation, you forget it. If you think that your works can bring about your salvation, then this cross means absolutely nothing to you. And the purchase of Jesus for your life, which he purchased by his what? Means absolutely nothing to you. And if it means absolutely nothing to you, then Jesus cannot be your husband. And if Jesus cannot be your husband, if you are saying that I am going to, by my works, be saved, and Jesus is not your husband, then you have lost your salvation. Are you catching that? What you are saying, by losing your salvation, you are saying, I do not want to be in a relationship with Jesus. And the act that he did on the cross means absolutely nothing to me. Whoa. Any other sin that you ever commit in the Bible is forgivable, except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Why is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit unforgivable? Because without it, you couldn't have Jesus raising from the dead. Without it, you couldn't say that Jesus is even Lord. And if we don't have that Holy Spirit in us, if we're saying that it's of no value to us, then why on earth would God deliver us from this world? Why would he deliver us from all the things that we think that we can do on our own? He couldn't. Because he is of no value to you. And the Bible says, can you fall from God's grace? Absolutely you can. You can sever yourself from Christ. And if you do that, if you're going to sever yourself from Christ, then you have lost your salvation. You have said Jesus is of no value. And yes, then, you can lose your salvation. Because this isn't about you. This isn't about God giving you a green card. This isn't about God giving you a certificate. This isn't about God saying, here you go, here's your entrance into Christianity. Now you do this over here and you don't do this over here and you will be saved. It's not it. It's about Jesus is going to be my husband one day. Jesus is going to... How many of you, when you were engaged, though, you had a good engagement? Anybody? We have some good engagements in here. Yeah. And how many of you couldn't wait to get married then when you were engaged? How many of you husbands were ready for the wedding to be over because your wife was driving you nuts about the wedding plans and everything else? Well, honey, do you think this song? Honey, how about this scripture? Honey, I don't care. Just get it done. I just want to get married. I wanted to be done it right. That's what we're like that. That's what this is about. We should be longing for Jesus to Jesus, just come back. Let's get this done. We want to make all the plans. We want to have all the religious stuff. We want to add to and add to and add to. And Jesus is saying, why are you doing this? Just wait on me. Be still and know that I am God. You keep moving. You keep moving. I will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I will bring you unto completion. The Bible says in Philippians that he who started a good work in you will bring you to completion. That is a promise. That is God going, I promise this. Right? He's not going to revoke his promise. I'm hoping some of you are getting this. Some of you are smiling at me, and that's great. Some of you are like, I don't know about that yet. I pray that it sinks in, that this is not about religion. We need to do away with the religion. Lose your religion and start looking at this as a relationship. Because if you look at this as a relationship, the only way to lose your salvation is to say, I don't want the relationship. I don't want it. And it's no value to me. But yet God loves you so much, he wanted to be in that relationship with you. And you're just saying, I don't want it. Then yes, you can lose your salvation. Here's something else I want to say this. If you are saved, if you want that relationship, this is something else you should never do. Somebody say never.
Never.
Okay. Never, ever, 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 ever look at somebody's dark road, dark sin, whatever it is, and say, well, they must not be saved. Or they're not going to be saved. Don't ever look at a Christian who has fallen away and gone down a dark road and say, he's not saved, must not have been saved, because he couldn't. Keep sin free. No. This is God going, I am taking your salvation, and your salvation is going to be a journey. Your salvation is a relationship with me. And in that relationship, you might steer away. The Bible says that there were 100 sheep on the mountain. What did he do? Left the 99 to go get the one, right? Because the one did what? It strayed. But he was still a sheep. right? Nothing took away his salvation, except for if he said, I don't want it anymore. I pray that you would want it. I pray that you keep a hold of it. And I pray that the people around you, when they go down the dark road, that you're gearing them towards restoration. You're gearing them towards redemption. You're gearing them towards repentance. All of those things that bring a person back to Jesus, back into his loving arms, just like the prodigal son. And when you do that, you're not judging a person's salvation. No, you're loving them into his arms. Amen. Let's pray.
So at the beginning of this message, I asked the congregation, if Jesus is Lord, say Jesus is Lord. And not many of them said anything. There were a few. And it became questionable. So I ask again, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, say Jesus is Lord. And of course, then many spoke up and we had a little laugh about that. But the point is, that this message was meant for a body of believers. In the book of Romans, when Paul wrote this letter, it was to a body of believers. And we have to understand that context. When he's talking to the people, he's talking to a body of believers. And so I want to stress that word believers, because when he's talking to them, what he's telling them is that their faith is an element to their salvation. Ephesians says that we are saved by grace through faith. And so the building of that faith is what is the journey that leads us towards our ultimate salvation, and that is Jesus coming back for us. So if you're sitting there going, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know that I have made that decision. Well, I want to pray for you, because if you would love to make that decision today, I'm not saying that a prayer is going to change it for you, but what I'm saying is that if you have reached the point where you have said, I don't want to live this life that I'm living any longer. I want to change. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be sure of my salvation. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. If I want to be sure of that. So my prayer for you this day is that you would have that change of heart and that change of mind. That's repentance. And that the Holy Spirit would then lead you on that journey towards his ultimate salvation. That journey of transformation, where he's transforming your life by renewing your mind and setting you on the right paths. I want to pray that for you, that the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you today. If you're sitting there and you've gone, you know what? I was a believer and I have strayed and I really need to get back into it. The Bible says in James, my brother, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he has turned a sinner from the error of his ways and will save his soul from death, and it will cover a multitude of sins. And this is why I said at the end, it's important that we never ever judge somebody else's salvation, whether or not they're saved, because turning a sinner back is what we need to have in mind, that repentance, that redemption, and that restoration. I pray that if you're in one of those two places today, I just want to pray with you right now. Lord, I pray for the one listening. I pray that if they are in a place where they need to turn back to you, or they need to turn to you for the first time, Lord, I pray for their heart and I pray for their mind. I pray that they would seek out that repentance, that they would have that shift, that they would want to follow you. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit just grabs a hold of them and that they begin to be transformed by that renewal, and that they begin to walk in your ways and walk in your path and just have such a heart for you, Lord, that at the end of days, at the end of their days, they would be saved, that you would bring them into everlasting life. Ah, Father, I love you so much and I thank you for the one listening today. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing his praises. We dive into the Word of God, and we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's A, the number 2, cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.